Running an online business requires passion, knowledge, and a lot of dedication. Adding the complexities of setting up and managing hosting for your website piles on more work when you already have so many plates spinning. Whether you manage one WordPress website or dozens, Kinsta's managed solutions give you access to a platform that's optimized for the fastest speed, has enterprise-grade security features, and is powered by an intuitive custom dashboard with everything you need to manage your sites efficiently. Plus, Kinsta provides human-only WordPress expert support, which is available 24/7, 365, to assist with even the most complex sites. Forget frustrating AI chatbots. Kinsta gives you complete peace of mind by ensuring that your WordPress sites are always online, secure, and performing at their best. Start your journey with Kinsta today and get your first month free. Don't have time to migrate your site? Kinsta takes care of everything for you. Learn more at kinsta.com/podcast. That's KINSTA.com/podcast.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.
This is Cooper Kupp, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to the Roster Watch Dynasty Show. I'm Cody Carpentier, joined as always by the Trash Man. The Dynasty Top 250 Dynasty Rankings are up at rosterwatch.com. They're always up. You can go check them out with a pro or premium membership. Today, we're going to be talking through the 2025 NFL coaching carousel. It is just about all but completed as we head now towards the NFL Combine in a couple weeks and then the NFL Draft. We got the Shrine and the Senior Bowl in the rearview mirror. Dynasty updates are happening. Coaching jobs are all but dialed in. Trashman, how you doing?
I can't complain. Well, I guess I could. I mean, it was sunny for like 3 days here. Now it's back to gloom. It's Texas weather is its own entity. I'd take it rather than leave it, but it's something else.
I'll be honest with you. Yesterday, I don't know. I think it got like 78 here in South Carolina, and I went to sit on the deck and get some sun, and I realized I threw away my old umbrella, my old deck umbrella from my table. So the sun's beating on me, and I was like, all right, I got to go to Lowe's. I went to Lowe's and got me a new umbrella. So it feels like the spring is coming, but I looked at the 10-day, and there's some 40s.
Yeah, same here.
And I'm like, gosh, I thought we were out of this. But again, it's February. So
that spring was early. February was always coldest month here in Austin. So we'll see.
Caught us off guard. But all right, let's jump into the coaching carousel. First and foremost, let's go to the Chicago Bears. You were up at the Chicago Bears training camp the last couple of years. They have a new head coach in Ben Johnson who comes over from the Detroit Lions. On the offensive side of the football, they also got Declan Doyle, who's a like 28-year-old tight end coach from Denver, who's now the offensive coordinator. But we expect Ben Johnson to kind of be the lead here in this offense. Caleb Williams, Roma Dunze, DJ Moore, Cole Kmet, DeAndre Swift likely back. My latest mock, I gave them Trayvon Henderson, so I hope they kind of pivot off of DeAndre Swift. We'll see what happens with Keenan Allen. What are your thoughts on the Chicago hiring of Ben Johnson? A lot of people in the Twitter sphere, the X sphere, have been massive fans of Ben Johnson over the last couple of years.
Well, I mean, I like him for Roma Dunze. I feel like he could kind of mimic that kind of Amon-Ra St. Brown role that had there for the Lions. We know he has the talent. We just want to see him get consistent production. It's kind of like a Jackson Smith and Jigba, where we know the kid has the goods. We just want to see him produce consistently. And I think adding Ben Johnson to that mix helming the offense, I think we're going to see more from Romo Dunze. We're going to see it more consistently. So I'm excited to that extent. I think the offense will run better, you know, just in general. So, you know, maybe an uptick for all of those offensive players. Swift, maybe notwithstanding, don't really know what's going to go on there. Yeah, I think it's a good move for the Bears offense and Romo Dunze in particular.
The way it's listed right now, Keenan Allen is an unrestricted free agent this year. So Romo Dunze, DJ Moore, like you mentioned, currently on the Dynasty Top 250 over at RosterWatch.com, we have a Dunze in one QB as a consensus 39th overall player and the wide receiver 16 on consensus. It's not exactly 16, but right around that T. Higgins, Ladd McConkey, Zay Flowers area. You brought up Jackson Smith and Jigba. That was a guy I know we talked about Jackson. I think it was more so because Shane Waldron, who was in Seattle with Jackson his freshman year, rookie year, then was with Rome last year in Chicago, and the lines were easy to tie together from a talent perspective and all this other jazz. Now Rome, I guess pulled back on him. Jackson, I just left him as a top 10 guy consensus. I knew the talent was there. Rome, now that I'm read through it, now that I've thought through it, now you bring up what Detroit looked like, potentially an Amon-Ra type of a role, if we think of DJ Moore more as like an outside guy or vice versa. Maybe I feel like I'm potentially a little bit low on Rome. I mean, I remember talking about him. I mean, my boy Matty Kiewum from South Harmon was like, dude, he might be wide receiver one in the class. And I was like, listen, I'm not going that far, because I love me some league neighbors and everyone else loves Marv, but I get it. I get what you see in Rome. There's a big opportunity here with Ben Johnson.
Yeah. Alex really liked Rome coming into this past season. And just watching the Bears practices, I was able to see how dynamic Adunze was when given the opportunity. And I think Johnson will get him more opportunities in space.
So the Cleveland Browns fired their offensive coordinator this year, Ken Dorsey, and they hired Tommy Rees, who is formerly these last couple of years been at Alabama and been at Notre Dame. Tommy Rees enters the fold in Cleveland. We don't really know what's going to happen in Cleveland at the current stage, because it looks like it potentially could be a quarterback addition there. When you just a quick thought on this Cleveland situation, because the receiving room is kind of nice now. Elijah Moore, Jerry Jeudy, Cedric Tillman, based on what we got this past year. Do you have any belief in Cedric Tillman? Let me just check and see where we have him right now. We currently have him consensus 128 overall, right around that Christian Kirk, Darnell Mooney area. Do you have any thoughts on Cedric Tillman this year, not knowing the quarterback situation?
Well, for me, I don't really believe in Jerry Jeudy that much. So I think there's room for Tillman to grow in that offense. I don't think Judy's the alpha. I think Tillman has an opportunity to really step up this season.
We'll see what happens. Rees is only 32 years old. He was the offensive coordinator, like I said, for Bama in 23. He's a tight ends coach in 24 for the Browns, pass game specialist, it looks like. And then he was an offensive coordinator for the Notre Dame for 3 years. Another big spot that got a new head coach and a new OC was the Dallas Cowboys, just north of where you are right now. They got Brian Schottenheimer, who was kind of in charge of the run game there in Dallas.
One of the worst rushing offenses they've had in years.
A lot of people not a big fan of Schottenheimer, just to say the least. What are we doing in Dallas? Like, is this a – I've seen some thoughts, like, I know this is a fantasy show and dynasty, but I've seen some, like, rumors of, like, you know, potentially going after Myles Garrett, adding him to the defense. I think that would be obviously interesting if you partner him up with Micah Parsons. But that would – if you made that move, that would pretty much say, you know, we're still trying to win. Granted, they haven't really felt like they've pushed the chips in a decade. As far as the offense goes, though – are we just waiting to see who that other guy is going to be outside of CeeDee Lamb? Like, Are they going to bring in a running back? Right now, the only running back on the roster, Rico's an unrestricted free agent. Deuce Vaughn's the only running back on the roster. Like, I think
they're going to bring in another running back. I think they're going to draft maybe two running backs. I know they're going to have to bolster that running back because I think they're going to lean on the run. I think Schottenheimer is going to want to take the onus off of Dak and that offense. Make it more run first offense. And so I don't know whoever that second receiver behind CeeDee Lamb will really matter. I think maybe they emphasize the tight end. I mean, Dak's always like going to his tight end as well. I'm not really that concerned about the second receiver in Dallas. I'm more concerned about who the running back is going to be, who the starting running back is going to be. And I know if they're going to make moves anywhere, I think it'll be at the running back position. Although I was kind of salivating at the thought of a Cooper Kupp coming to Dallas somehow, but I think that's probably just pie in the sky.
Pie in the sky, a little wish casting there. I don't know if it's out of the question. I'd be interested to see what the cost is for a Cooper Kupp these days in the trade market. I know they brought it up earlier this year about trading him before the trade deadline, before they ripped off a win against the Vikings and so on and so forth. But now you wait to the end of the year. Dallas is picking in the draft at 12 and 44. In my latest mock, I only had two backs off the board by 44. That was Jenty and Trayvon Henderson. But the problem is, Trash Man, I sent Jenty to the Cowboys at 12.
I mean, I was hoping he would fall to the Cowboys at 12. I mean, I think there's the possibility. I think the Cowboys might try to go up and get him if it seems like they couldn't. But yeah, that would be. I think that make perfect sense for the Cowboys to take him if at all possible.
Would taking a running back? I mean, I know Zeke was obviously – was he fourth or fifth overall? I think it was fourth overall, right?
I think fourth.
I think that was fourth overall. Would that tilt you to see the Cowboys take another running back?
They tilt me with everything that they do. I mean, that would be the least tilting thing that they would have done.
They've taken three running backs in the top 20 in the history of the franchise. Two of them are Hall of Famers, Tony Dorsett, Emmitt Smith. The other one's Zeke, who the last time the team was relevant, Zeke was eating.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, no, it would not tilt me at all. No, I think Jenty, I think that's the, I mean, I think he's a special talent from the looks of things. And I just think in order for the Cowboys to compete with what is now a really strong NFC East, they're going to need a dynamic running back. I mean, looking at Saquon Barkley over in Philadelphia, they need somebody to compete with him. And I think that Jenty's, arguably the best line of defense for their offense.
In Houston, Bobby Slowick a year ago was the offensive coordinator for the Houston Texans and was looked at as potentially guy like getting a head coaching job, getting head coaching offers. And now a year later, they fired him. They fired him just a couple of weeks ago and replaced him with Nick Caley. Caley, passing game coordinator and tight ends coach this past season, before he joined the Rams in 2023, had been with the Patriots under Nick Caserio, who's obviously the Texans GM. My thought here about Houston, and we'll talk about free agents in the coming weeks. We'll get you guys covered for that. But Diggs is going to be a free agent. Tank's coming off back-to-back years of injuries. Nico, I mean, we love Nico. I mean, if you look at the Dynasty rankings right now where Nico's at, he's a top 25 asset in Dynasty right now, right next to the Brian Thomases and the Bucky Irvings of the world. And as far as consensus goes, when you look at what Houston has, it doesn't seem like it can get worse. Obviously, Joe Mixon seems like he still has juice left in the tank, which surprised me this year. Dalton Schultz is there, whom I've listened to. I listen to Houston radio quite a bit. They don't love Dalton Schultz. They like the rookie Cade Stover quite a bit more. Nico, Tank, Dell, Where do you kind of sit with those two guys? I know you've been a big fan of both of them through the process. And then does like an Xavier Hutchinson or John Metchie interest you at all in Dynasty?
Well, I mean, I think the Texans receiving core is pretty deep. I do like Hutchinson. I do like Mechie. I think they're both playmakers. I do think that the missing link here for the Houston Texans is their offensive line. They just can't protect CJ Stroud, who I think is a rare talent. And I think the offense took a step back this year. I mean, they have all the other pieces, really. I mean, who else can you blame but the coordinator, I guess. So bringing in from the Rams, I think it's improvement, and I think it's going to be good for Stroud. I move Stroud up just a bit in these rankings. I think he takes a step up there. I'm just hoping, you know, and as somebody who's slowly becoming more of a Texans fan.
are you changing? Are you heading south?
Changing is not the word, because I was always an Oilers fan growing up.
Okay, that's
fair. But then with everything, when they didn't draft Vince, I was off the Texans for a while. But I think if they can just get an offensive line that can protect their quarterback, I think that's gonna be a sea change for the Texans offense. In connection to them having a better offensive coordinator.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to say ahoy or land ho and not feel weird about it. So here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance offers access to the largest towing fleet on the water. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to say, shiver me timbers, and not feel weird about that either. Get more with GEICO.
Yeah, I think offensive line's kind of the top of the food chain as far as need. I agree with you.
It has been for the past several years for the Texans, and they just can't seem to address it properly.
They've tried. They've just tried in like wrong ways. The trade for Laramie Tunsil was fine, but then like getting an aging Shaq Mason, a bad Kendrick Green, drafting a bad Kenyon Green. Those are two different greens, Kendrick and Kenyon. And it's like, but there was a guy at the Shrine Bowl up there in Dallas. So they'd have to travel far. Thomas Perry, guy from Middlebury. He's going to be a value. This guy's like, they call him Thomas the Tank, trash man.
Yeah.
Cause he's like 6'3" and he's like, I don't know, 320, 330. This is a guy, when you walk into a room, he was the one. You know, when like you walk into a room and you're like, there's 10 dudes, maybe like potentially you walk into like an NFL draft room or you walk into the combine or something. You know what I'm talking about. When you walk in, you're like, these dudes are offensive linemen. There's like 6'8", 6'7", 6'8", 6'7". And then you got like a 6'3" dude, right? You're like, that does not look like it belongs here. But what doesn't belong about him is also the fact that he looks like he's a farm kid. He just came off, you know, chucking 1,000 bales that day off the trailer. And he's got like the Air Monarchs on. And he's got the gray t-shirt tucked into his shorts, and he looks like he just came out of the gym. He's got back sweat. And he's got a gallon of water. Like, that's this dude. And I fell in love with this kid at the Shrine Bowl. So
like a Kendrick Perkins. Yeah. Hey, Beaumont native Kendrick Perkins. But that was actually his doctor growing up. We went and saw them play at the high school, the state championship here in Austin.
Kendrick Perkins?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Oh God! How big was he? How big was he then?
No, it's the same size. he's still bigger than all the other kids out there. I mean, at least, you know, width wise.
Jacksonville Jaguars hired, whatever you want to call it, Liam Cohen from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They interviewed him whilst they still had our favorite GM Trent Baalke. That was a joke. And then Liam Cohen basically said, I don't want to work with Baalke. It's kind of what everybody had said through the process. They go and fire Baalke. They go and get Liam Cohen, who had an offer on the table from Tampa. This is big news a couple weeks ago. And he turns around and doesn't sign that Tampa Bay contract and goes back to Jacksonville, gets a deal. He was OC for the Bucs for 1 year. He spent, I think, two seasons with the Kentucky Wildcats, one with Will Levis. I think he had another year in there with the Rams. He's kind of been all over the last 4 or 5 years. He's now the head coach for the Jacksonville Jaguars, partnering up with Trevor Lawrence, Brian Thomas, and that weaponry. They have a draft pick here that's in an interesting spot where you're looking at a potentially, you know, personally, if I was in charge of this team, I would be drafting offensive line, kind of what we just talked about for Houston. I said that last year. I went on Jacksonville radio 3 times. I said offensive line, offensive line, offensive line, and they go Brian Thomas. It worked. It worked. Now they're sitting here at 5. Potentially Travis Hunter is going to be available. Tet McMillan is going to be available. They have weaponry. Liam Cohen likes to throw the football. I mean, he just had, you know, even at Kentucky, he had Barrion Brown and Dan Key. He had weapons. He threw the football. And Tampa obviously threw the football. We love Brian Thomas, but what, like, there's really not a lot else in Jacksonville that I love. I mean, I think Tank Bigsby poses a little bit of value overall. But maybe we're looking at a 1-2 punch, hopefully
a healthy, decent tight end.
Healthy 1-2 punch. So you want to go to tight end, right? Are you thinking Ingram or Strange or what?
I mean, yeah, I'm just saying, like, I don't hate the tight ends for the Jaguars. I think of all those skill positions, maybe that's that's your strongest position overall.
Probably the most dependable as far as overall. I mean, that running back room scared me last year. The receiver room outside of. So I have – I would like to hear more thoughts from people. I don't really care about people's opinions if I'm being honest, but I'd like to hear people's thoughts outside of my own on, like, Jacksonville's receiving room, like Parker Washington. I like Parker Washington, right? And I think Parker Washington's, like, the perfect guy to allow them to get rid of a Christian Kirk. I forgot they had Gabe Davis on the roster as well. I forgot about that.
Gabe forgot he was there.
I just pulled the depth chart up. I was like, wait, Gabe Davis signed a big contract there last year, didn't he? So I guess technically it's another guy. Christian Kirk still technically under contract. I would be surprised if he doesn't get moved, cut, or something before the season begins. Overarching thoughts on Jacksonville getting Liam Cohen from Tampa. You just have to naturally compare the offenses from what we got out of Tampa last year with the two back set with the Bucky and with Rashad White to the receiving core. We got a little breakout from Jalen McMillan in there. Godwin obviously got hurt, but he was on pace for a career year, kind of playing in that Cooper Kupp role. Is there potentially room for a Cooper Kupp role, which is the big conversation that was had about Godwin last year with Liam Cohen coming over from the Rams? Is that maybe a Parker Washington or a Christian Kirk, or do they draft somebody?
It could be a Cooper Kupp.
Oh my gosh, trash man.
I mean, you know, they already have kind of a motley crew there in the receiving court. The thing with the receiving court is, like, they got a lot of those guys could work. That'd, you know, they're all trash. They're all garbage grab fodder. Gosh. You know, it's behind Brian Thomas. I mean, so, like, yeah, they have talent there at the position. I mean, really, I think this is a boon for Trevor Lawrence. I moved him on a scoont this week. I think it's a good move for him. I think, like, Stroud, he kind of had an off season, kind of took a step back there, but I think this is a good move for him. I think it's a good move for the Jaguars offense as a whole, their passing offense especially. I don't know that wide receiver is really huge need for them. I think they have talent there, like you mentioned, Washington. I just think they need to run the offense more efficiently, and I think this is a good move towards that.
I want to talk about the Raiders and I want to talk about the Jets, but I think we should wait a week on those two because free agency is going to approach, and I want to talk about free agency next week. And I think both of those situations are free agent dependent. But one I do want to ask about and have thoughts on is New England, who got a new head coach, OC, and DC. And that OC is Josh McDaniels, and that head coach is Mike Vrabel. And they have Drake May stapled, like, not stapled, he's nail-gunned to the wall. He is the future in New England. He's the answer. We figured that thing out already, I think. As far as everything else on this offense, here's the fact of the matter. We're playing dynasty league fantasy football, right? We're playing dynasty leagues that are carrying between 25 and I play in a league with 53 man rosters. You have to have depth. You have to have a taxi squad. And a team like New England, who we're looking at with Ramondre, Antonio Gibson, the receiving room, you're talking about Jalen Polk, Javon Baker, DeMario Douglas, a bunch of guys, Tyquan Thornton, I think, still on the roster, a bunch of guys that really you don't want to play. But here's the thing. They're going to go out and they're going to add somebody in free agency. Maybe it's a T. Higgins. They're going to draft somebody at some point in the draft. Maybe it's a Matthew Golden or an Isaiah Bond or something. Who knows? But is there anybody on the roster, Trashman, that you think makes it through the cut, makes it through to the season, whether it's at running back or receiver or tight end, that like potentially poses some value for people that maybe they're sitting right now? It's February 6th when we're recording. You got a month till the – or 3 weeks till the combine. You got 2.5 months until the draft. There's opportunity and there's window to potentially go out and get somebody. Is there anybody in New England that you even want?
I mean, I like Douglas. I think he's the closest thing to being number one receiver for the Patriots, has been. I think considering all that young talent that they brought in, I think Douglas is, you know, he's been kind of the mainstay, if you can say that, for that receiving core. And I think we saw Drake May improve of the season. I think he is a talent. I think he is, you know, maybe got that kind of Bo Nix magic. And he's a good runner. So I think that Douglas, you know, is going to stick around. And I think, you know, as a PPR asset, I think he's somebody that could provide value this season.
166 career targets in 30 games for the Patriots. That's in two seasons, of course. Only 3 touchdowns, but he has had numerous games. He's had 10 games with 5 or more receptions. So like you said, the PPR factor is massive there. When you pull up the dynasty rankings right now over at rosterwatch.com, you can go get that with a pro or a premium membership. He's 172nd overall for us, which is like in the, you know, Audric Estime, Will Shipley, kind of area of talent in dynasty leagues. And if I'm looking across the board at other jobs, I think the only other one was, so we talked about Tampa, I guess, de facto a little bit. Was there any other kind of thoughts you had across any of the hirings? I guess we could touch on the Jets or the Raiders. If you had a thought, the Raiders signed Pete Carroll, the Jets get Aaron Glenn as their head coach. Pete Carroll hasn't won more than, I think, 8 games since 2021.
I mean, for me, it was the Jaguars and the Bears. I think, you know, we'll see marked improvements on both of their offenses. Those were the two that I think had, as far, you know, offensively, had the biggest improvements, or the potential for the biggest improvements, I would say. Also, Houston with their new offensive coordinator, I think C.J. Stroud, you know, maybe gets back up into rarefied air this season. And him being only 24 years old, you know, I think he's really going to be a valuable dynasty asset.
You said you bumped Stroud up. Did you bump him? I see you moved him up a little bit. Did you move him ahead of where would you have him before? Because I see you have him right now at QB2, right?
Yeah, I think I had him at 6.
So just behind that little bunch there of Jackson, Hurts, and Allen.
Yeah.
Interesting. I mean, age would tell you that's the right answer, right? The season's over. Hurts is going to be 27 this year. Allen, 29. Lamar, 28. You get 4 years with a Stroud. I guess there's an opportunity for a little bit of value right now when you do look at it from the long term.
Yeah, I mean, I think age is something we really should consider more in our dynasty rankings, as it is a pretty important factor. I mean, I guess quarterback may be the one position where it's the least important factor comparatively to the other skill positions. But, you know, I think having – like, for me – Jaden Daniels being as young as he is and as good as he's shown to be, I mean, I'm hard pressed to put anybody above him in dynasty right now, quarterback wise.
The funny thing is that I just realized it right now that Daniels is actually a year older than Stroud, and they're both kind of in the same situation post-rookie season, right? They both had dominant rookie seasons. Stroud just happened to have an OC that took a half step back, I guess. Whereas it sounds like Kliff obviously is going to stay in Washington, and Kliff is more established than Bobby Slowick is. So I'm with you on the Jaden Daniels side of things. If you are here, thank you for tapping in. Click that like button. Click subscribe. And don't forget, Underdog Fantasy. The Super Bowl is on Sunday. I waited until the end of the show for the real ones to stay tuned in. We have a Pick'em show tomorrow, the final one of the year, Underdog Pick'em. Underdog, sign up today. There's a QR code right there on the screen. 50% deposit bonus up to $1,000. The picks are trickling in right now over on our Pick'em cheat sheet. 60.9% on the year, Trash Man. We are literally locked in. We can't possibly fail enough this weekend to get us below 60% on the year. We're established as the best in the game, I would say. I don't know if there's anybody else that's hit 60% consistently all year. Go over to underdogfantasy.com today if you haven't already, and tap in to the show tomorrow afternoon to get those underdog picks for Super Bowl 59, I think it is now, Eagles and Chiefs. We appreciate you. We love you. Until next time, he's the Trash Man. I'm Cody Carpentier. We'll see you.
Peace.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always on the verge of death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan, additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.